Amen. Well, praise God. Turn to somebody and just say good morning. Tell them you love them. And it is good to be in church, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, worship team. Kids, you're dismissed to Children's Church. And, you know, today is a wonderful day because we get to have two people that we love. And if you have not been at the church since John and Colleen have been here, then you've missed out. But, hey, they're here today, so you're going to be blessed. And, you know, I love the fact that Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans that he wanted to come and impart something to people. And the reason I love John and Colleen is because wherever they go, they bring the presence of the Lord. They bring the heart that you see. Not if you know her dad, our one of our overseers who passed on and went to be with the Lord. He's already in his reward. I'm so jealous. I'm just jealous. And you know what? The legacy of that anointing and that mantle, we still get to enjoy what God is doing. And that's because God isn't done. And so when you listen to what the Lord's put on Colleen's heart today to share, and when you hear the testimony of what God is doing in other places than just the U.S., I pray your heart is encouraged, because we as a church, we support bridge builders. That means every donation you make, there's a portion of that that goes to these guys. Now, after they speak today, I want to take up a special offering just for them. They don't know that, and we don't normally do this, do we? We don't normally take up special offerings. But I asked one of our elders, I was like, hey, Troy, what do you think? You think we should, you know, take up a special offering? He's like, yeah, let's bless the snot out of them. And so I want to bless the snot out of them. And so would you welcome some of my favorite people, John and Colleen, to the stage?
It's so great to be back here again. For those of you who don't know us, we're John and Colleen Smith. We're with Spirit Power Ministries and Bridge Builders International. And we're missionaries. We lived in Malawi, Africa for 3.5 years. And then God called us to Belize, Central America. And that's where we've been ministering lately. Although we do go back to Malawi, Africa as well. You know, when we first went, we got called away, as many of you know, last year. Colleen's dad passed away. So we had to leave suddenly. And it was like we figured we would be back in a few weeks. So basically, we got the call one night. The next day we were on a plane back to the U.S. So we just walked out the door, locked the door, and my computer was still sitting on the dining room table. And figuring, well, in a few weeks we'll be back. And then the airports closed, COVID hit, we couldn't go back. So we've been trying to get back. We went back this past January, and the restrictions there were a lot worse than here. They had a curfew of 8 o'clock. If you got caught outside past curfew, you got a $5,000 fine. If you were caught without a mask outside, you got a $5,000 fine. They've lowered it now. Now it's only a $500 fine, but and they've changed the curfew is 10 o'clock now instead of 8 o'clock, which makes it a little bit easier for churches that have an evening service. But we didn't really know what we were going to be able to do because of all the restrictions. We thought maybe we'll just go back, pack up our house, and then come back to the States. Colleen was talking to one of our friends there, pastor friends, and she says, please don't just leave. He says, you do something that a lot of missionaries don't do. You actually visit us, spend time with us, encourage us. It's like right now, we really need that. So I think the day after we got there, we had pastors at our house pouring out their heart, the things that they've been going through and experiencing.
Sometimes we'd have two or three pastors in a day come. I mean, they'd sit at our table and they'd just weep. And each one had a completely different story to tell. And when they would leave, John and I'd look at each other and say, boy, we really did hear from the Lord. You know, this was what our purpose was for right this time.
We've also had the, in Belize, there's islands that people, tourists come to go to and stuff. And we've had the opportunity on one of the islands, one of the smaller islands, we got connected with a pastor there. And he has a children's ministry that every Saturday he brings kids in. And his church is basically, I think it's got, there's a roof and I think two walls of a tent. That's his church. And he has kids in. He's got over 50 children now. Brings them in, teaches them arts and crafts, Bible stories, and then he feeds them. And it was just a great blessing to us to be able to be part of that. We were actually able to help him raise some money to, because he does this basically on his own. They cook the food at their house and they bring it over to their church to feed the kids. So we were able to be part of that and bless them. We put a little thing clean, put something on Facebook and asked anybody that wanted to donate. And Pastor Oscar got his socks blessed off of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody donated some money to him. So we were just excited about that.
One of the things that we have a problem with in Belize, I mean, I know there's some problems here, but there's so much competition. And God has given us favor with many pastors. We're working probably with about 40 to 50 pastors on a regular basis. And so we'll have a pastor's conference, leadership conference, and this pastor will let us use this church. Well, because we're having it at this pastor's church, some of the pastors over here don't want to go because they don't really like that pastor, or they, you know. And we're trying to build unity. You know, as long as the churches are fighting, you know, the devil is happy. But once they get unified, wow, there's going to be something going on. And so we really need a neutral place that where people can feel comfortable and come. And we really feel like God is calling us to build a ministry center, a place where we'd have like a compound, we'd have a conference center, we'd have maybe some small buildings with maybe bunk beds that pastors from different parts of the country could come. We could just pour into them for a week and then they could go home and minister to their people. And we want to have a place so that pastors and teachers, Ben, and could come down and, you know, help us train these pastors. And so this is really our heart's desire.
And this is a God-sized vision. And so obviously we don't have enough money to do this. But I believe that if it's really something from God, he's going to provide the funds. You know, he's amazed us so much in the past as far as, you know, we didn't have money to do this or that, and all of a sudden the money comes in because we believe that we're doing what God wants us to do. When we were there this time, we were helping out another pastor. They have a feeding program, and he had just built some outside bathrooms. And Colleen and I went over there one day to help out, and we were painting the bathrooms. And we ran into some fire ants. Apparently, Colleen is sweeter than me because they really went after her and bit her feet, and her foot swelled up, and she had to go to the doctor and get shots and medicine. But she's doing okay now, so we just praise God. For me, I guess what I would like to ask from you is to just remember us in prayer. Obviously, it takes money to be on the mission field. It takes money to run a church. But you know what? If there's not people here praying, you can have $1 million in your bank account and things aren't going to happen. So I just ask that when you think of us, just pray and ask God to lead us, direct us, and just provide. Thank you.
Well, I'm so happy to be here this morning. I see a lot of familiar faces, and some of you were connected through Facebook, and that's fun. I'm not on there a lot, but I do more posting than I do reading, but sometimes I check out some of what you guys are doing and praying for you. But we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 22, and we had a wonderful gift in January 2020. We had my dad come down and spend 3 weeks and ministered with us, and he went back to the States, and 3 weeks later, the Lord called him to be with him in heaven. So I really appreciate all that my dad has poured into me, but I have my own shoes to fill. I tell people I'm not here to fill my dad's shoes. I got my own shoes to fill. But I do appreciate all that he's poured into me over the years. So I'm going to have a slide presentation, and I do talk with my hands, but I'll try to make it pretty distinct to come to go to the next slide when I want you to go to the next slide. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So it's proceeding from the throne and the Lamb of God. This river has life. The reason this river lives is because of its source. And we need to know that Jesus Christ is our source. Amen? Amen. And so everything which originates from the throne is pure. Now, a river has banks. We're talking about our life here, that we need to have banks in our life. And the time that we spend in the Word and praying, that creates these banks. And banks are so important for a river, because without banks, a river will turn into a swamp. And of course, when we're talking about a swamp, there's no life. There's nothing there that will feed us, that will nourish us, that will give us, something good to hang on to. And, you know, the devil wants to create swamps in our lives. But we need to have banks in our lives, and that's through the Word of God. And a swamp won't take you to your destiny and the purpose that God has for your life. How many of you know God has a purpose for each one of you? The fact that I'm standing behind the pulpit does not make my ministry any more important than what God's called you to do. So what has he asked you to do? Amen? And so a river can change drastically. It can start off real tranquil and peaceful, and you go around a bend and it turns into some rapids, and then all of a sudden you've got this raging river, and it turns in it can come out of nowhere, and there's so much power in those raging waters. And so this can be very thrilling, but it can also be dangerous. So we have to know that we have the source on our side, so that when we come into those raging rivers of our life, that we can pull the power of the Holy Spirit into to help us sustain us through those times. So like I said, a river can flow, it can turn into like a swamp. And I tell you, that thing can creep up on you, and it slithers up on you before you know it. It's attacking you. That's how the devil is. He's so tricky. He's so crafty. And before you know it, his lies can consume you. Now, you have to be careful, too, that you can go into a place and you can think that there's a flow. You can think that there's a flow of the Holy Spirit, but really, it's a false anointing. I've been in those kinds of services. It's a bunch of emotionalism. But you know, the way you know that it's false is there's no life change. You know, people just get emotional, they go home and they're back to their life the way it was. But when you have a real infilling of the Holy Spirit, when you really have the power of the Holy Spirit on your side and you feel that flow in your life, it changes you. And I want the infilling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis because I need my life changed. Because about the time that I think I'm doing great, you know what? That's when I'm in trouble. But as long as I stay needy of the Holy Spirit, needy of the Lord, stay close to the source, I'm in a safe place. We need discernment. You know, the Mississippi River, it starts off real tranquil like this. You can actually walk across the beginning of the Mississippi River. I've never been there, but maybe some of you have. And it's calm, and as you go down the river, it becomes more powerful. And as long as nothing stops it, it grows bigger and bigger. And before you know it, it's huge like this. And then in the beginning, it seemed, oh, man, we can handle this part of the river. But you get down here to this part, and that's pretty scary. And so that's sometimes is like how the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, for some people, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you speak a few words in tongues and it seems like a you know, calm and you know, not real dramatic. Other people, the Holy Spirit comes and pours into them and they just speak in tongues and they just, it seems like it's going on and on. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter. You still have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's still power in it. And so just because one person gets all excited and dramatic and the next person is more calm doesn't mean that they did not experience it. Amen. See, we all come from a different path, a different personalities. And so we can't judge people by, you know, how they act. And so the infilling comes in and we want it to be life-changing. And that's what it is when it's real, when it's not just emotional, but there's a change in our life. And it's because we understand that we need to be close to the source. We need that Holy Spirit right here. I want the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want him speaking in my ear and saying, Colleen, don't go there. You're stepping on dangerous ground. I want that because it's a safety for me. I need those banks in my life. The Holy Spirit's desire to grow in our lives and so that we become more sensitive to him. This is where the Mississippi River meets the Gulf. It really amazes me that there's such a distinct, you know, distinction. And it tells me that a God who can tell the rivers and the oceans not to cross over to each other is a God that can take care of whatever need I have. That just speaks life to me. It's exciting to know that we serve a God that can do this with water. My goodness. I take a glass of salt water and I pour it in a pitcher of water with regular water, no salt in it, and it still mixes. I can't separate it, but God can. We know what our source is. It's supernatural. The more we spend with the source, Jesus Christ, the more time we spend pressing into the things, the Spirit, the more powerful our Christian walk is. I want power in my walk. I want my walk to be so powerful that I don't have to speak a word. People see Jesus. They sense Jesus. That's what I want in my life. Verse 2 says, in the middle of the river and on either side of the river was the tree of life. So, and this tree, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. That's supernatural. There's no plant in the world that produces fruit all year round, every month. But yet, this tree does. And that's because it's close to the source. It's a supernatural tree. It has the capacity to be able to have fruit on a continual basis. That speaks hope to me because that's what God wants for us. He wants us to bear fruit all the time, no matter what our circumstance. He wants us to be bearing fruit, even in the bad times. And he can do that in our lives, no matter the environment we're in, no matter the season that we're in. Because of the source, we can have that supernatural hope. And it says here, each tree yielding fruit every month. That's you and I. Every month of our life, every week, every day, we are yielding fruit. And what kind of fruit are we giving? When people come and pick our fruit, what kind of fruit are they getting? You know, you stand in line in a grocery store and someone is taking way too long and you're grumbling and grumbling. I want you to know that that fruit that they pick off you is kind of not, it's probably pretty plastic. But see, the more gracious that we can be to people, the more when they pick our fruit, they can get some substance from it. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Now, leaves respire. They make an oxygen and give out carbon dioxide just like other living things. Oxygen is the gas of life. During the day, oxygen is produced through the plants during photosynthesis, while at night, plants produce carbon dioxide. Now, you have too much carbon dioxide, that's not good for you. So that's why we need to be close to the sun, S-O-N, all the time. So we are receiving all that he has for us so that we're not giving out all that negative stuff that people don't need. I read something I thought was interesting, if you'll bear with me as I read it. Recent studies indicate that men and women who practice in any of the mainstream worship services have an above average longevity. Fewer strokes, less heart disease, less clinical depression, higher immune system function, low blood pressure, and fewer anxiety attacks. And the worshipers are less likely to commit suicide than the population at large. These findings come from medical schools and schools of public health, and the most striking findings, Dr. Harold Koenig of the Duke University Medical Center calculated that with regard to any mainstream faith, lack of religious involvement is related to mortality. Those who worship less live less. He said it's like the equivalent of 40 years of smoking one pack of cigarettes per day. Another study conducted mainly by researchers at the University of Texas noted that those who regularly attend worship service lived an average of 7 years longer than those who never attended. I want you to know being connected with the body of Christ is healthy for you. So you guys are doing something good for your health today. Isn't that interesting? It's really interesting. Now you have two leaves. One is full of color and flexible. And the other one is all dried up and brittle. Spiritually, when Christians cease to partake of the tree of life, they die. As long as we stay close to the source, we are healthy, we're more flexible, we're more forgiving of others, we can handle more pressure. But once we get away from the source, we dry up, we become brittle, we become bitter, we can't handle things. Things crush us very easily. That's why it's so important that we tap in to the Word of God. Otherwise, our leaves dry. When we allow our lives to become too busy to tap into the tree of life through reading the Word and prayer, we begin to shrivel up. The leaves fall to the ground. They turn to dust, and then there's no life in them. Yet the one attached to the tree of life receives life as long as it feeds on the tree and stays attached to the tree. So as long as we stay close to the source, we can handle things. Yeah, I want you to know when you feel separated from God, he's not the one that moved. He's not the one that changed position. We walked away. I've been there. Come on, I'm real. I'm transparent. I haven't arrived. There's been times in my life I've felt distant from him, and it's because I walked away. I forgot that I needed to stay close to the source. I kind of got away from reading my Bible on a regular basis. I kind of forgot about having that communication. My husband and I will have been married 45 years this July. Now, how long do you think we would have stayed married if we didn't talk to each other? We need to talk to each other on a daily basis. I need to tell him I love him. I need to show him I love him. Same with the Lord. I need to talk to the Lord on a daily basis so that I can have a close relationship with him, so that I can know when he wants me to move. My husband and I, we finish each other's sentences a lot. You can do that when you know each other. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I can finish his sentence because I'm close to the source. Now, I love this here. The last part of verse 2, it says, "The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations." And I was thinking about this. I thought, Lord, what is this? What does this mean? Supernaturally, we're full of the Holy Spirit. There's life. When the leaves of the tree, it says that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. I want you to know that's your testimony. I want you to know sometimes storms of life come and knock our leaves off. Okay? We didn't choose for them to fall, but they get knocked off. But I want you to know that that can be a testimony. And a testimony brings healing to others. So when I go through storms of life, when I have things happen to me, it reminds me of how powerful the Holy Spirit is in my life. And then it can bring life to somebody else. It can bring encouragement to them. He's always encouraging us to stay close to the source. When I've had a lot of medical problems. And in 2016, I fell while I was working in Belize. I injured my leg. It's a long story. We had to have an emergency flight back to the States. I was bedridden in my room for 3 months. When I did start walking, I walked with a walker for over a year. I went to physical therapy. I herniated 2 discs in my back. I had back surgery. I didn't know if I was going to be crippled for the rest of my life. Some storms happened to me. Some of my leaves got knocked off. But I can give that as a testimony because, praise God, I'm walking. I'm dancing. I'm still working. And then in April of 2017, I'm just starting to recover from this. I get in a car accident, hit an ice storm. My car went off the road, it hit a couple of trees, broke one right off. I ended up with a head injury. Didn't know if I'd ever preach again. I mean, talk about finishing my sentences. My husband had to all the time. I had to go to speech therapy. I could not think clearly. I couldn't hold a conversation very long. I'd get a tremendous headache. And so, you know, these are the different storms in the life. But praise God, he showed up. And he touched me and he healed me. And now I can preach again. I'm a little more dependent on my notes than I used to be. That's okay. Just keeps me humble. I need him. I need him in every aspect of my life. Ezekiel 47 is the story of the river. And I won't take the time to read all of that, but when he first steps in the water, it's just at his ankle, and he's just getting his feet wet, and he's walking around, and he can feel some of the coolness, but he's got a full control. Then he goes out into the knee-deep water, and this message is I could have a whole sermon just on that. Do I have another hour, Pastor? But he goes out on his knees, and maybe the balance isn't very good, but he still has pretty good control, and he's still close to the shore. See, a lot of us, we don't want to even get our feet wet. But some of us, well, as long as we can get to shore real quickly, it's okay. But then in his vision, he's taken out in the water up to his waist. Now it's really cumbersome to try to walk. He's really feeling the pull of the river. And then the Holy Spirit takes him out in up to it over his head. That's when it's better for, rather than fighting it, for him to just yield. It's easier to swim than it is to walk. He can't walk. Getting your toes wet will not satisfy you. God wants to take you to a place where we're not even aware of the depth, where the river goes on, and we feel the pull of the Holy Spirit. We want to just flow with Him. I mean, there's so much. It takes a lot of pressure off us when we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Because I try to take control. I'm an organized person, and I can make things happen. But when I try to do it, guess what? Things get messed up. But when I let the Holy Spirit just lead me and guide me, it takes a lot of the pressure off. I've learned to rest in the Lord. You know what? I don't understand why all of a sudden there's a decree saying I can't go back to Belize right now. I mean, our ministry was on a roll. I was invited to go over to Guatemala and start training pastors there. It didn't make sense to me. But see, I choose to trust God in those things that don't always make sense. The river has taken me to nations of the world. It will take you to your neighbor. It'll take you to your workplace. Each person here, God wants to use you. Stay close to the source. Let Him lead you and guide you. He'll fill you. Where you lack, He will show up. See, I have that confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence in myself that when I get up in front of people, I'm going to be real eloquent in my speech. But I am confident in the Holy Spirit that He is going to speak through this vessel because He is the preacher. And He's going to speak to somebody. God wants to speak to somebody here. He wants to tell you, stay close to the source. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. And he will carry you. You say, well, I'm not capable. I want you to know where you lack. He will take over. There's always those who only wade out ankle deep. They don't want to step into the water. These are usually the ones who try to discourage those others who try to go, oh, you're going out too far. You better watch it. That's why we have to sometimes be careful who we share our dream with, because you got dream killers out there. About time you tell someone, oh, I really feel like God told me to do ABC. And they're like, well, you know what? I don't really know that you're really capable of that, you know? God doesn't need our ability. He just needs us to make ourselves available. Man, God, wow, the stories. So finally, Ezekiel was carried into the water that was too deep for him to touch the bottom. When we get committed to God enough that even the plans that you make are scary. I've made some plans that have been pretty scary, but wow, God. It's amazing what He does. That's a place where you must learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. And when you're out this deep, you've gone beyond your own ability. My husband can't swim. He gets out over a neck. He's pretty uncomfortable. But I want you to know, even when you're uncomfortable, if God's telling you to do something, do it scared. It says in Ezekiel 47:9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go, will live. The power of God transforms death into life. Amen. Most Christians will never experience that joy. They refuse to leave their comfort zone. They don't want to go beyond what they know or what they totally understand. But I want you to know, God sometimes wants to expand our borders. He wants to push us a little bit farther than what we're comfortable with. But when you allow Him to lead you, you'll be blown away. It's so exciting to see what God will do. I have been in so many areas, and I'm just blown away by it, what God has done. Not because of me, but because I have an amazing God. If someone is to reach the deep relationship and commitment to the Lord that this represents, he must move beyond himself. We've got to move beyond me, me, and I. Because God has somebody out there he wants us to touch. He's got someone that he wants you to minister to. And he's designed it for you to do it. If you won't do it, he'll find someone, but they won't be able to do it as well as you because you are the person that was purposed to do that thing. God wants us to lose sight of ourselves. He wants us to be totally 100% surrendered to him and his will. Ezekiel 47:12 says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. That's so cool because my text was from Revelation, but this is what he was saying in Ezekiel. It's so amazing. Things are getting better because the river of life is flowing through us. The swamp has no effect on people where the river flows because people who live in the swamp are all around us. They live in a dead place. They don't have life. They don't have hope. But once they get close to the river flowing, they see that there's hope and there's life. And they want to attach to us because we have something to give them that has life in it, that has something sustainable, something that will bring healing to them. God can do more with the little that you have and depend on him than he can do with those who have a lot and depend on themselves. In closing, I want to repeat that. God can do more with the little you have and depend on him than he can do with those who have a lot and depend on themselves. I need the Lord. Everything I do, I need him. I need his direction. Because when I depend on my own strength, I will lose my strength. But when I depend on him, I'm strong. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your goodness, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can follow after Jesus' steps. We thank you that we can stay close to him. We thank you that we have the Holy Spirit to come along and to convict us, to give us discernment, to help us to know the direction that you have for us, Lord. I pray for each person here, Lord. I pray that you would speak life into their situation, Lord. You know their circumstance. You know some of them are in a devastated place, Lord. They feel like there's just no hope. But Lord, I pray that you would open up their eyes to the hope of Jesus Christ and that he is their source. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to mention that if anyone would like to receive emails from us, you come and give me your email address and we'd love to have you on our mailing list. I don't send out emails. You're not going to be bombarded with them. But I do send out notes every once in a while of what God's doing. So God bless you and thank you so much.
Can we stand together?
Wave after wave of glory. Wave after wave of grace. You're pouring out your goodness. You're filling. Filling up.
Touching your physical body this morning, would you just lift your hand up this morning. Is there somebody here that needs a physical healing? I see one right over there. Another. Anybody else? There's two, three, four. Any more? Lift them up high so I can see if you got it. Five, six, oh, seven, eight, nine. All right, there's more. Boy, we got a lot of sick people here today. No, I'm teasing. And 11. Okay. You know, something that Colleen was saying, it's those leaves healing. Amen. There's just healing in the presence of the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit just moves. And so if you'd lifted your hand, I just want you to open up your heart and receive healing from God's presence this morning. Heavenly Father, you know every situation, every physical body that came here this morning that is in need of a touch from you. Lord Jesus, touch that body right now in Jesus' name. In your name, we command where there's sickness to be healing, where there's anything that is wrong with that physical body, Lord, we ask for you to remove it and overwhelmingly heal. Touch that body. Pain, leave right now in Jesus' name. Pain, leave right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I ask for that. I thank you because you are so wonderful, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I want you to thank the Lord right now that he highlighted just this opportunity to be healed. Would you just say, thank you, Jesus? If that was you, would you just thank him right now? Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word is life to my very body. God, we affirm your word here in this place. It's living and active. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Colleen, can I get you to pray for encouragement? Can you do that for me? This is okay. Because you do this to pastors down there. Every one of you are ministers. I just believe that. You're the visible church. You're ministers. And how many of you have been discouraged, say, this week? I don't want to say about this whole year. Everybody's been discouraged at some point. But if you're specifically dealing with discouragement this morning, you just feel in the mully grubs. You're in the swamp. I love that image, by the way. Without the banks, the swamp. If you're feeling discouragement, can you lift your hand real quick? If that's you, hold it up. That's awesome. There's a few in this room. All right, we just pray and just break that in Jesus' name. I feel like you're just a good encourager.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you love each person here. Lord, that each one is a treasure. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see themselves the way you see them, as invaluable. Lord, that there is so much in them that you want to do and that you want to use them. You want to work through their life. Father, I speak value into each person here. Lord, I speak hope. I speak life. I speak encouragement. I speak strength, Lord. Father, that they would wake up in the morning and they would say, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. I want to be used of you, Lord. I know that you value me. And so I am a child of the King. I am a King's kid. And I know that I deserve the same inheritance as Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm a joint heir with Christ. So, Lord, each person here would see the value that they have. Lord, we just love you. We come against any ploys of the enemy to discourage, to tear down, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. Man. Wave after. Wave after wave. Your gospel, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, mercy was black as night. Oh, bless his name.